There were used room service trays here and there, and some of the doorknobs had Do Not Disturb signs or breakfast orders on them. Theresa Lee paused and double-checked the number and knocked. Nothing happened for a minute. Then the right-hand panel opened, and we saw a woman standing inside the doorway with soft yellow light directly behind her. She was easily 60, maybe more, short and thick and heavy, with steel-gray hair cut plain and blunt, dark eyes lined and hooded, a white slab of a face, meaty, immobile, and bleak. A guarded, unreadable expression. She was wearing an ugly brown house dress made of thick, man-made material. Lee asked, "Ms. Huth?" The woman ducked her head and blinked and moved her hands and made a kind of all-purpose apologetic sound, the universal dumb show for not understanding. I said, "She doesn't speak English." Lee said, "She spoke English 15 minutes ago." The light behind the woman was coming from a table lamp set deep inside the room. Its glow dimmed briefly as a second figure stepped in front of it and headed our way. Another woman, but much younger, maybe 25 or 26, very elegant and very, very beautiful, rare and exotic, like a model. She smiled a little shyly and said, "It was me speaking English 15 minutes ago. I'm Lila Hoth. This is my mother." She bent and spoke fast in a foreign language, Eastern European, quietly, more or less straight into the older woman's ear. Explanation, context, inclusion. The older woman brightened and smiled. We introduced ourselves by name. Lila Hoth spoke for her mother. She said her name was Svetlana Hoth. We all shook hands, back and forth, quite formally, crossing wrists, two people on our side and two on theirs. Lila Hoth was stunning and very natural. She made the girl I had seen on the train look contrived in comparison. She was tall, but not too tall, and she was slender, but not too slender. She had dark skin like a perfect beach tan. She had long dark hair, no makeup, huge, hypnotic eyes, the brightest blue I had ever seen, as if they were lit from within. She moved with a kind of lithe economy. Half the time she looked young and leggy and gamin, and half the time she looked all grown up and self-possessed. Half the time she seemed unaware of how good she looked, and half the time she seemed a little bashful about it. She was wearing a simple black cocktail dress that probably came from Paris and cost more than a car. But she didn't need it. She could have been in something stitched together from old potato sacks without diminishing the effect. We followed her inside, and her mother followed us. The suite was made up of three rooms, a living room in the center, and bedrooms either side. The living room had a full set of furniture, including a dining table. There were the remnants of a room service supper on it. There were shopping bags in the corners of the room, two from Bergdorf Goodman and two from Tiffany. Theresa Lee pulled her badge, and Lila Hoth stepped away to a credenza under a mirror and came back with two slim booklets which she handed to her. Their passports. She thought official visitors in New York needed to see papers. The passports were maroon, and each had an eagle graphic printed in gold in the center of the cover, and words in Cyrillic above and below it that looked like Nachopt Ikpaya in English. Lee flipped through them and stepped away and put them back on the credenza. Then we all sat down. Svetlana Hoth stared straight ahead, blank, excluded by language. Lila Hoth looked at the two of us carefully, establishing our identities in her mind, a cop from the precinct and the witness from the train. She ended up looking straight at me, maybe because she thought I had been the more seriously affected by events. I wasn't complaining. I couldn't take my eyes off her. She said,
I am so very sorry about what happened to Suzanne Mark.
Her voice was low. Her diction was precise. She spoke English very well. A little accented, a little formal, as if she had learned the language from black-and-white movies, both American and British. Theresa Lee didn't speak. I said, We don't know what happened to Susan Mark. Not really. Beyond the obvious facts, I mean. Lila Hoth nodded, courteously, delicately, and a little contritely. She said,
You want to understand my involvement?
Yes, we do.
It's a long story, but let me say at the very beginning that nothing in it could possibly explain the events on the subway train.
Theresa Lee said, So let's hear the story. And so we heard it. The first part of it was background information, purely biographical. Lila Hoth was 26 years old. She was Ukrainian. She had been married at the age of 18 to a Russian. The Russian had been knee-deep in 90s-style Moscow entrepreneurship. He had grabbed oil leases and coal and uranium rights from the crumbling state. He had become a single-figure billionaire. Next step was to become a double-figure billionaire. He didn't make it. It was a tight bottleneck. Everyone wanted to squeeze through, and there wasn't room for everyone to succeed. A rival had shot the Russian in the head 1 year ago outside a nightclub. The body had lain in the snow on the sidewalk all the next day. A message. Moscow style. The newly widowed Lila Hoth had taken the hint and cashed out and moved to London with her mother. She liked London and planned on living there forever, awash with money but with nothing much to do. She said,
There's a presumption that young people who get rich will do things for their parents. You see it all the time with pop stars and movie stars and athletes, and such a thing is a very Ukrainian sentiment. My father died before I was born. My mother is all I have left, so of course I offered her anything she wanted. Houses, cars, holidays, cruises. She refused them all. All she wanted was a favor. She wanted me to help her track down a man from her past. It was like the dust had settled after a long and turbulent life, and at last she was free to concentrate on what meant most to her.
I asked, Who was the man?
An American soldier named John. That was all we knew. At first my mother claimed him only as an acquaintance, but then it emerged that he had been very kind to her at a particular time and place.